This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. We're going to look at two things today. The Old Testament passage, which is the reading from Job, and the New Testament passage, or the gospel we just got done reading. And we're going to compare those two because, believe it or not, these two passages today are very closely related. Who can tell me what act of mercy from the Lord both passages show? Exactly. They're eye-openers. In one way or the other, they open the eyes of the person who is the receiver of the action, or I guess you could say, if you want to use grammar terms, the direct object of what's going on there. Thousands of years apart, the Lord endeavored to show mercy and to open eyes, one spiritually, and as we know, literally, the other physically, and possibly spiritually as well. So let's compare these two readings together. Check out Job 42, verse 5. Job said, "I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Skipping down to verse 4, excuse me, that wasn't verse 5, though. Verse 4 says, "Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me." We cannot miss the important detail here. Job isn't challenging the Lord this time as if he has a right to question God. He says, "Okay, God, I'm going to ask you, but this time I'll listen to what you have to say in response." He is admitting here that the Lord is the one who has the answers. This is like when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming and cried out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." He's crying out for mercy. Because why? Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is the one who can give it to him. And Bartimaeus also was clearly aware that he needed the mercy of the Lord. There is a declaration of dependency here. From Bartimaeus, there is no presumption or a sense of entitlement. Unlike Job's attitude from a few weeks ago, there's no pridefulness here. Bartimaeus isn't demanding that Jesus heal him like he feels like he's deserving of the Lord's mercy. So what we see here is humility. In a sense, you can't be any more humble than Bartimaeus. We may have covered this before, but in ancient Judea and in Hebrew, the word bar means son of. So this guy is more or less a nameless entity. He's only identified here as the son of Timaeus. For the record, then, this chap is a stand-in, if you will, for all of the many people who are destitute, needy, and desperately in need of the Lord's mercy. With that in mind, let's look at what Job says next. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. He confesses that before he's only heard stories. His knowledge of the Lord was adequate to engender a certain amount of devotion, because you remember Job was a righteous man and he offered sacrifices and all of these things. But there was a lot of pride that remained inside of him. Now he admits that he has seen the Lord and his heart is in the process of getting the needed wake-up call. Now let's look at Bartimaeus in Mark 10:47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Do we see this? In both of these passages, our two protagonists have heard of the Lord by the hearing of the ear. Job said he had heard of the greatness of the Lord. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming. What did both of these men do? Well, the text tells us that Job's next act in Job 42:6 was to repent in dust and ashes. Bartimaeus, knowing his position and condition, cried out to the Lord, and he responded to the Lord's call by throwing off his cloak and springing up to Jesus. We can use that as something of a metaphor of Bartimaeus throwing off the old self and getting ready to go up and meet Jesus and get that new life and that touch from the Lord. So he throws off that cloak and he gets up and he runs to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Naturally, Bartimaeus knew his need, and he said to Jesus, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." We can make that a spiritual metaphor and say that Bartimaeus also knew of his spiritual blindness, but we don't know that for sure. What he did know for sure is that his condition was so profound that he needed Jesus' intervention. We can receive blessing from God when we finally admit we need him. How's the old thing go? You know, you can't get any help until you admit that you have a need. Bartimaeus knew what his need was, at least on the physical side, and he cried out to the Lord for it, and he was willing to do what was necessary. It means get up and go to Jesus to get the need met. Now in Job 42:10-17, the text tells us, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first, Jemima, the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Keren Hapuk. In all the land, there were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. So Job repented and also prayed for his 3 friends. And after this, the Lord responded by blessing Job greatly. The Lord gave him twice as much as he had had before. And I still think it's interesting that in the Bible, a person's wealth was measured in how much livestock he or she had. Nowadays, only ranchers think along these lines. We think of blessings in terms of money, cars, houses, and lots of stuff. Even so, Job must have taken note of the fact that after he repented and also after he had been an intercessor for his 3 friends, let's put in a good word for intercession here, how the Lord blessed him. But it wasn't until the Lord broke him. Still, he sought the Lord and the Lord blessed him. But let's not lose sight of the fact that the main point of the whole story was the Lord doing a work in the ancient patriarch's heart. Job was spiritually stronger after his ordeal. We know this because of Job's own words. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's a guy who has been reached and broken by the Lord and who's now is willing to humble himself in the Lord's presence. Job was brought under conviction. He realized his sinful condition. Then he repented, and the Lord blessed him by the abundant restoration of what he had lost. Let's look at this as a metaphor. When we're lost, we may think we have a lot of stuff. But when we come to Christ in repentance, we gain the riches of the kingdom. Grace, forgiveness, peace of mind, and hopefully contentment in what the Lord provides. This is wealth that can't be measured with dollar signs. Bartimaeus had his eyes open physically, but what did he do in response? And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. After he had his eyes opened, what did he do? He followed Jesus. And that's what we all need to be doing. When the Lord opens our eyes, the natural response should be like that of the nameless man, Bartimaeus, and follow Jesus. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that the Lord has done so much for each one of us. Yes, we've had difficulties and trials, but those are part of what it's like to live in a fallen world. You're not going to avoid difficulty just because you get saved. As a matter of fact, as we've said many times, sometimes once you get saved, some of your difficulties increase. Why? Because the Lord is trying to do a work in you, and he's trying to get us to realize that we're not going to be able to handle this life and this world without him. He's trying to get us to declare, like Job, our need for repentance and dependence on him. Job thought he had lost it all, though. Bartimaeus was blind. But what we see here is that both of these men had their eyes opened. And as a result, they began to live life the way it was meant to be, with the Lord's blessing and being able to see things through those eyes that have been opened by the Lord. Job had his eye-opening experience, and it was a long and painful one. My prayer is that for each one of us, the Lord doesn't have to do nearly so much to us to get us to the same place where he brought Job, and that he would open our spiritual eyes too, like Bartimaeus, and that we, in response, would follow Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.